The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, what I thought of trying to talk about this evening is the benefits of failure. And I say trying because maybe I'll fail at doing it. The benefits of failure. And I think part of the motivation to kind of explore this a little bit with you is that I stayed up late last night, 2 o'clock in the night more, with my teenage son who went through a very dramatic failure. And it was pretty dramatic, and I'd stay up with him, and there was a lot of emotions and stuff. And it was kind of tragic for him, but I didn't say this to him, but I said, you know, I think that this is going to be so much better for him. This was actually a good failure, and all kinds of good things happen in the process of it. And then miraculously, by the next day, today, the very thing that seemed like a failure got rectified. It became a success. But I was so glad for, you know, looking back, that these few hours of failure that that he had to, you know, that he learned a lot about himself. But I didn't sleep much last night. It was a big, big event at home. And so I thought, well, I'll come down here and fail in giving Dharma talk. I'm tired, and who knows what'll come out. So I'll tell you a story. There was one of the pioneering women teachers in America of our tradition. It was a woman named Ruth Denison, who died a few years ago. And she started teaching in the 1960s and taught for many years down in Southern California. And she got to be pretty elderly. And maybe her mind wasn't quite as quick as it used to be. And she was taking care of her husband, her ex-husband, who had Alzheimer's. And she was the primary caretaker. And she would stay up, wouldn't get much sleep, taking care of him, long hours. And then she was going to teach up in Oregon. And so she took, I think, on a Friday evening or something, for a weekend retreat. And she drove from Southern California all the way up to Oregon, I think in just in one day, just, you know, this old lady. And there was going to be this big public event before the retreat where all the people in the public were invited to this big auditorium where this famous teacher was going to teach. And she got up on stage and she started teaching, and she started telling a story, I think, of her husband, caring for him. And she talked for a while, and then she told the story again. And then she talked for a while, and then she started telling the story again. She was the one who told the story to a group of us. But people were getting restless in the audience. And then one person started getting up to leave. And she said, wait. She stopped her talk. Wait. You're witnessing something very special. You're witnessing one of the senior American Buddhist teachers fail. He sat down. And what I liked about that story was, was it a failure that she couldn't remember what she said and she was repeating herself? But what seemed to be in the way she told the story was her ease or her relaxation. She wasn't defensive. She wasn't, defending herself or explaining it away or denying it or something. But she just said this. She called it a failure. And in this kind of very open, public way in front of, I don't know how many people in a big auditorium. I was inspired by that. So maybe if I fail tonight, maybe the benefit is hopefully you'll see someone fail in a relaxed way and it'll be okay. Sometimes I've occasionally had some of those moments here teaching, and sometimes I've forgotten what I'm saying. And in the middle of it, it happened a couple of times over these, this doesn't happen that many years, but over the last 25 years, in the middle of a sentence, what was I saying? And usually I just become quiet and sit and wait for something to happen. And I don't know if people realize that I've forgotten what I'm saying, but I'm just sitting here and I'm just kind of just waiting. And usually something comes back, but I'm not trying necessarily to come back, but it kind of circles. It's kind of circling around in there and comes back. I don't know what happens in there. But some people have told me that they've noticed that it was very meaningful for them to see me be relaxed in those circumstances. I didn't know what I was saying. So it was a failure of a certain kind, and some people would probably get tripped up and feel bad, and the fact that I stayed relaxed was meaningful for people. So benefits of failure. And one of the things, thinking about it, I thought about meditation practice. And I hope there's no one who's new to meditation here today. If there is someone new to meditation, just realize this is a very peculiar perspective I'm going to offer. And so, you know, just take it lightly. If you don't like it, just, you know, leave it here. So one of the wonderful aspects of meditation practice is that it's a great place to fail. In fact, maybe meditation is, a lot of what meditation is about is failing and learning from those failures. And there's a lot to learn about failing. Why is meditation, you know, people probably fail at meditation more than they succeed. But maybe it's like baseball, you know. Some of the best baseball batters fail more than they succeed, right? A really good batter, really, you're pretty good if you succeed, you're really good if you succeed a third of the time. Two-third failure. That's pretty good, right? So with meditation, it's actually, usually it's worse than that. So you sit down to meditate, and say you're going to meditate on your breathing, and so you're set, that's what you're going to do. You've planned it all day long, you're going to sit down, you're going to follow that breath, you're going to kind of stay with it the whole sitting, whatever. And you sit down, and you get to two breaths. And the mind wanders off. You failed at your grand plans of spiritual enlightenment. And, you know, and after two breaths, you failed. So you muster up more effort. You're going to say, well, I'm going to get to three. And you get to one. But maybe at some point you settle in and you get to four or five or ten, or sometimes it goes further. You know, the mind drifts off, which can conventionally be seen as a failure in what you're doing. So what do you learn from that? What are the benefits from that? One of the benefits is that we can learn, it's like a little laboratory, little kind of to study ourselves, and we can study how we relate to failure. Failure is a big part of life, where what we expected, what we wanted, what we set out to do, didn't succeed. So in little microcosm, some of our reactivity, some of our judgments, some of our relationship to those kinds of small fails in meditation are a way to study how we relate to failure. We get disappointed. We get angry with ourselves. We tighten up and try harder. We give up. We despair. We check out into fantasy. This is too hard. I might as well fantasize. There's all kinds of things that we can learn about our kind of mechanism for relating to failure. You get to do it many times. And I benefited a lot from that myself. In my early years of practice, I was a regular failure in meditation. But it took me a while to really learn what I was doing, because I thought my judgment that I'm failing was true, and my judgments of myself as a failure was true. And there's a thing where when we think what we're thinking is true, we don't often see it clearly. It's kind of like we take it for granted. It's just like, well, this is true, so I don't have to question it. I don't have to be mindful of it. I don't have to kind of turn around and observe it and hold it lightly. It's kind of like it's true, so therefore it has to kind of be there to affect everything, to kind of rule over everything, you know, make its judgments. And so it took me a while to realize that how much I was angry, that I couldn't follow my breath sometimes, and how much my response to that was to try harder by getting tighter and bear down And, you know, I'm going to do this, and kind of beating my head against the wall kind of idea. And I had to do it so much that I started actually suffering a lot. And, you know, the way meditation works is the harder you meditate, the less you can meditate. So the people who want to succeed by trying harder, you know, don't do it. There were times I also tried not meditating, but for me back then, what that meant was fantasizing. And it got me a little bit relaxed. It kind of worked out some of the kinks of the anger and frustration. But it didn't really succeed either to be go off in fantasy. And so that escape route, you know, was not a good scene for me. So I had to learn how to fail and be relaxed about it. I had to learn to fail and not take it so personally, not judge myself, you know, I'm a bad person because I failed at, you know, following three breaths in a row, whatever I set myself up to do. I had to learn to not be slowed down by it, not to have that as a speed bump, not to get discouraged, but say, oh, okay, let me try again. Let me try again in a very matter-of-fact way. In fact, one of the things I learned to do in meditation was not so much say, start again, but just start over, like from the beginning. Let me start from the beginning. And I found it very much more peaceful for me to kind of think, okay, I'm starting my meditation now. Rather than, I'm, you know, 30 minutes into the meditation and this is not going well and I better really, I have 15 minutes left, I better really kind of go all out. But rather, I'll just start over again from the beginning. And much more relaxed about that. I've seen in meditation that I have all kinds of ideas of what's supposed to happen, and that I'm measuring myself against, not just following the breath, but I'm supposed to get calm, I'm supposed to have insight, I'm not supposed to be a certain way. Here I am a meditator for many years, and I'm supposed to not get grumpy. You know, I'm not supposed to be, you know, in an irritated mood or something. I'm not supposed to be despairing, you know, whatever's going on. Last night with my son, there were a period of time where he was pretty distraught, and as his father, I was kind of distraught as well. I'm a Buddhist teacher, I've been meditating for a long time, I should not be distraught. You know, I'm failing at this too. it's easy to have those thoughts. But the whole idea of labeling something a failure is itself a problematic thing. Something else, a question. What does it mean to call something a failure? The idea of failure is a magnet for all kinds of associated ideas, values, judgments, fears, expectations. And it becomes much, really heavy for some people when you see, kind of consciously or unconsciously, we call what we do a failure. And is it possible to change the language or change the view of it? If the mind drifts off quickly, rather than calling it a failure, it's just say, mind has drifted off, and now it's time to start again. Is it a failure? I don't think it's a failure at all. An understanding I have of breath meditation, coming back to the breath, that I often teach as a way of helping people not get caught up in success and failure, is I'll teach about rhythms, that life is made up of a lot of rhythms. There's the rhythm of day and night, being awake and going to sleep. There's the rhythm of eating and getting hungry and eating and being hungry. There's the rhythm of working and resting. There's, you know, always a rhythm, things we alternate and do over time. There's also the rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. And there's also the rhythm in meditation of being present for what you're paying attention to, being present for the breath and drifting off. And then you come back. And then you wander off and you come back. And there's a rhythm of that. And that's just as maybe as a natural rhythm as anything else. And that rather than fighting it or feeling it's a failure, what we're doing is learning to work the rhythm. And just realize, oh, your part of the rhythm is to come back. And so it's more like a massage for the mind, rather than a failure of the mind. If you think you've failed, probably the mind gets brittle. But if you think of wandering off as the mind's contribution to the massage, you know, the alternating kind of kneading of the brain matter, whatever goes on in there, the mind, that's what the mind does. It goes away, it's a natural thing, and your job is to come back. The quicker you come back, the better massage you get. And the more you come back, the less you're giving fuel to that tendency to wander off. And so you're working the rhythm, so the rhythm begins to be in your favor, and you spend longer period of time on the breath or in the present moment and less time wandering away. So that kind of view, that it's a rhythm, you just learn to work the rhythm and participate in it, and you have a role to play, just come back. Rather than seeing that wandering away is a failure, you're saying, of course, and I have my role, let's come back. And over time, that kind of much more generous kind of attitude, I think, is much more conducive to successful meditation than the idea, oh, I failed, I got to try harder. Failure in life in general, one of the great benefits of failure is that sometimes only by failing do we see the principles, values, desires, fears that we're operating under. Sometimes what we're trying to do in life, the underlying motivations, underlying values behind it, might be invisible. And when we're frustrated in what we want, only then can we stop and look and see and learn what's going on for us. There have been times when I've done things and I failed at doing them. Only then did I realize I was doing it to try to please someone. I was doing it in order to get someone's praise. I didn't realize how important that was for me. I thought I was just, you know, doing this activity that I was asked to do. And if I'd succeeded, I would have maybe gotten the praise, and I wouldn't have kind of realized what a strong drive the desire for praise actually was. So that's maybe a little example of, you know, that the benefits of failing, we get to see ourselves more deeply, what's really going on, that sometimes we can't see if we succeed. And we just kind of barrel ahead and go on to the next thing. Also, failure gives us a time to reevaluate what is important for us and choose different things, perhaps. I feel very great. You should all be very, I think so, those people who come here and appreciate hearing me teach here or something. You should be glad that I failed when I was in college. Because I was thinking about becoming a mathematician. But it turned out I wasn't very good at math or good enough. So conventionally I failed. And so, you know, I went off in a different direction. And that different direction ended up becoming here to do this. Like, you know, you studied, you could have come, if I hadn't, you could have come and studied math with me, you know, at some university. So was it a failure that I couldn't succeed in math? Did I benefit from it? The benefits of failure. So maybe that's enough of just kind of evoking this idea of the benefits of failure for you. I'll tell you one more story. And then what I thought I would do is take about 10 minutes for you to form little groups of four and share something that you've learned in your life so far about how you've benefited from failure. This doesn't have to be true confessions. And it probably is not such a good, the time-wise, for you to give a long story about how you failed. Maybe, you know, if you want to tell the story at all, maybe no more than a sentence. But the main thing is, how did you benefit? What did you learn from that was useful for you? Some people leaving now, as soon as they hear we're going to form little groups. Because that's not what they're here for. But most people find that you don't have to do it, of course, but most people find that when they do this, it finds really beneficial to kind of stay and explore this together. And it's not that often we have a chance to be in community and talk this way. So I'll tell you a story, and then we'll divide you up. It could be seen as a story of failure. It's a story from the Chinese Zen tradition. In Zen monasteries, they eat their meals, lunch, in the meditation hall. So they usually they sit around the edges in a big, you know, like if it's a square room, they sit, you know, around the edges of the square. And there's an altar in the middle. And servers will come in and serve the food and into bowls. And then when clappers are hit, people start eating the bowls and eating the food in kind of meditative way. It's all very meditative, very contemplative, very peaceful kind of event for eating. So they had that day, and they had something like turtle soup for lunch. And somehow, the head of one of the turtles ended up in this soup. And the person who got that in his bowl was the abbot. So the abbot picked up the bowl and saw the head floating in the soup. So the abbot, being the abbot, asked for the cook to come into the meditation hall. So, you know, all the other monks are sitting around. He has to come right in the middle and come up to the abbot. And that's pretty public, right? Public failures. And demonstrated. So the abbot pointed his finger into the bowl. And the cook came over and looked in the bowl, saw the head, picked it up with his fingers, and swallowed it and walked out. And in Zen, this is called eating the blame. So, he didn't defend himself, he didn't explain himself, he didn't apologize. He just ate the blame and went back to the kitchen. So you can think about that a little bit. So, 10 minutes or so. I'll ring a bell when we stop. So the idea is, if you would be willing, or you can sit quietly and wait until you finish up, but form groups of four people near you, and just share a little bit, and only share one benefit of how you benefited from failure, and then go around and have everyone offer one. If there's more time, then you have a chance to offer more. And it's something interesting happens when you go around and hear other people, and they make you think of something new that you hadn't thought about before. So don't, you know, just do one thing and go around. And no long stories. Okay? So, was that nice to have that conversation? Yes. Was it interesting for you to consider it? And was anybody surprised by what came out of that or discover something new about the benefits of failure? Hearing other people or hearing yourself? Anything that was new for you? Yeah, please.
Just referencing last week's topic on conflict, that came up for me. How I'm okay with failure, but the conflict is a challenge, and I think there's a relationship to the two. Mm-hmm. Avoiding conflict.
To avoid
failure. But failure, no, I don't have the frame of failure. I frame everything as a
conflict.
It's okay to go through it as a failure.
Oh, okay.
As a path to something else, just to, you know. I'm not sure how to explain it.
So you're okay with failure.
Yeah.
But you're not okay with conflict.
Right.
Great. Great to see that. Now you get to look at that more. Thank you. Someone else? Anybody else want to share a little bit? Nice to hear a few examples of something for the wider group to hear a little bit about.
Yeah, well, talking to everybody, I just realized that failure is just a word. Like, it's just a word. It's like a thought construct. Uh-huh. It doesn't occur in nature or anywhere else.
That's right.
In the universe as reality.
Uh-huh. Great. Yeah, I read a little quote today or yesterday that change is a natural phenomena. Progress is an ethical judgment. So I guess maybe that quote would apply to failures. So change is a, is part of life. So for example, one of the great failures is, some people see it as dying. But, people have been dying successfully for a very long time. I knew a man who was dying, and he was afraid he was going to die the wrong way. And as he bought all these books on dying so he could do it right. And, so failure is a kind of judgment, a concept we have put on top of things. Anything else?
So in our group, I was struck by how many of the examples were, there was something that we called a failure, but then it opened up the possibility of something else that actually turned out to be better.
So failure opens new possibilities. So then, yeah, one more here. If you can take the mic. Is the mic down the stage behind you? Or? I need the green light. Yeah.
It's interesting how much gravity there is that we place on failure before it happens, and how little we place on it after it happens, how easily we forget.
Interesting. Thank you. So one more here, okay.
I think I was tapping into some gratitude because I'm currently in the midst of some failure, what feels like failure at work, and I was like, oh right, there's going to be a benefit sometime later. And I'll be curious about that benefit. So I had some gratitude and hopefulness about this current failure.
Great. Lovely. So thank you for some of those comments, because I want to just end with this, that kind of connects to all these comments, that I think it's fair enough to say that for most so-called failures, they are things that happened in the past. Could be a second ago, it could be a minute ago, a day ago, But failures are something we evaluate after the fact. Otherwise, we're failing. We say in English, failing rather than failure. So failure means it's happened. And I think a very useful approach to living a wise life is to learn from the failures, to learn from our mistakes, but to have a very keen interest in what's next. What's happening now? Given that, what's happening now? What's next? And, that happened, but what's going to happen now? Let's see what happens now. And that kind of interest and kind of openness to what's happening next or the future can be summarized in a little statement. The story's not over yet. The story isn't over. So sometimes when people kind of suffer under failure, it's like the story's over, this is it. But the story's not over, the story continues. So what happens next? How does the story develop and continue? Is a way of going through failure graciously and perhaps learning how to get the most benefit from it. And learning to turn failure into benefit, I think is one of the gifts of life. If failures are only failures, life is much more limited. So I hope that all of you can notice your failures and turn your failures into the treasure, into some new possibility. So thank you all.